We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You don't want it. You don't need it. But you're going to get it anyway. The Kevin Sheehan Show. Here's Kevin.
Tommy's here. Yes, it's Wednesday. I am here. The show's presenting sponsor, as always, is Window Nation. Call them at 866-90-NATION. Head to windownation.com. Mention my name for a free, no-risk in-home estimate. So Tommy is in on a Wednesday because I'm heading out of town tomorrow for a few days. I'll be back later on in the weekend. So the schedule, actually, the rest of the week after today, Tommy's doing his Thursday here today with me on a Wednesday. I am planning on doing a show, recording it tonight, so that there will be a show tomorrow. And then Friday, more likely than not, no show. But over the weekend, maybe with Cooley. We'll see how everything goes after today's recording of the show with Tommy right now. Everything is still in flux, but I am heading out of town tomorrow, and I'll be back later on in the weekend. Now, tomorrow out at the park, it is draft press conference day. Tommy, I think you're going, and I'm not sure who's speaking. Is it Adam Peters? Is it Dan Quinn? I'm not exactly sure. You are going, right?
Yes. According to what the information I got, it's Adam Peters, and who's his second in command?
Lance something? Yeah, Lance Newmark.
He's supposed to be there as well. If anyone else is going to be there, I'm not aware of it.
All right, well, let's get to it. It's a busy day, actually. There's a lot to talk about. The Caps we'll get to in the next segment. They clinched a playoff berth last night, beating Philadelphia. Odd ending to that game, given that Philadelphia was trying to win in regulation. That was their only way to remain alive. But we'll get to that in the next segment. There are a couple of other stories out there that we will get to as well. But we're going to start, Tommy, with these top 30 visits where Washington last night had a significant number of players in town, including four quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix Jr. They all got into town at Dulles Airport last night or yesterday afternoon, and they all required some type of transportation from the airport. And that's where things got interesting. They had a night planned at Topgolf. They had dinner plans. And at the airport, somebody got picked up by Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, and the others had Uber. I will let you share the details of this because I know you're very interested in talking about this, so go ahead.
Okay, well, the report is by Capital Paparazzi, right?
That's the guy, yeah.
Yeah, who is smart hanging out at the airport because you're going to pick up news if you hang out at the airport. I used to joke that, in the old days, the Post should have had a beat writer hang out at One Loudoun all the time.
Right.
They would have gotten lots of information that way.
Yes, true.
But apparently this Capital Paparazzi reported that Jaden Daniels was picked up, like you said, by Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, and the rest of them, J.J. McCarthy,
Drake May, Michael Penix Jr. Yeah.
You know, I'm assuming the team sent cars for them. I mean, they did not get picked up personally. Either the team transported them or they had to find their own transportation. I'm assuming the team transported them. But this reminded me of that opening scene in Animal House where the two guys are walking down Fraternity Row and they go into the Omega House.
Mm-hmm.
And Niedermeyer welcomes them to the Omega House and he steers them over to the couch where there's milk and cookies and he says, "Here, you sit here with Jugdish and Clayton and Sydney." That's what this was. This was Jaden Daniels. You join us over here. The rest of you guys, you sit over here in the corner with Jugdish.
You really believe that this is now for you an absolute they're taking Jaden Daniels.
Okay, put yourself in these kids' shoes. What do you think they thought?
I think there is a plausible explanation based on landing times. Based, you know, maybe Jaden Daniels got in after they got in or before they got in, and Quinn and Peters had the opportunity to pick him up but didn't come back, sent vehicles for them to be picked up. But no, there obviously – you would think that somebody from the organization, even if it weren't Quinn and Peters, maybe it's Newmark, maybe it's Martin Mayhew, maybe it's Cliff Kingsbury, that if they have great interest in the others, perhaps there are other team personnel waiting for them. Yes.
You would think so. I tell you what, Dan Snyder wouldn't have done that.
Well, Dan Snyder had him on Redskins 1, you know, flying
there
him
you go.
To and from.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, he would have had. Yeah, he would have had the red carpet rolled out. So I'll
tell you what.
What?
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I talked about this today on radio, and I took calls on it. So San Francisco apparently did a lot of the things that Washington's doing right now, which is bringing a lot of players in at the same time, having them socialize with one another in social environments, like at Topgolf and like at dinner last night, and getting to see what these guys are like with, you know, other people and observing that sort of behavior. I'm sure there is some sort of hiring practice that includes this kind of activity. I know that most teams don't do this. Most teams will bring in, you know, players, and they'll meet with them and they'll have them in, you know, a coach's room with a whiteboard. And this is what Washington's doing. I mean, they're thinking outside the box, or they're doing it in a similar way to San Francisco because Adam Peters is here. But I think that it's just odd. I'm not saying it's bad at all, but it's just odd that four quarterbacks, including Michael Penix Jr., are all here on the final 2 days of top 30 visits. Maybe coincidental.
But weren't there more than quarterbacks?
Yeah, there were more than, yeah, there were like 20 some odd players, according to some of the reporting.
You know, it's funny. I joked with you the other day. I thought it was a joke. I joked with you on the last podcast. So what do they do with them on these visits? Do they take them to the Air and Space Museum?
Right.
What do they do on a visit?
They go to Topgolf. Yeah.
They go to Topgolf. Look, I don't have a problem with you know, this exercise, whatever exercise they're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think these kind of things generally are, you know, think a little bit out of the box like this is not a bad thing. But if this is like the San Francisco blueprint to some extent, then this speaks to what I've said about something else about Adam Peters. He's thought about being a general manager in this league for many years. And in those thoughts, he's had a way that he's determined he wants to do things.
Right.
If I'm going to be a general manager, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it that way. This is why I said, before he ever got hired here, he probably had a list of five guys that he would want to coach his football team. So what he's doing now, if it's something from San Francisco, it doesn't surprise me. and it just fell. And I'm sure it's Adam Peters' idea. I mean, I'm just thinking, if it wasn't, either Adam Peters said, "Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't we do that?" or else was against it and was overruled. I'm thinking neither of those things happened. So I have no problem with this. I know you don't have a problem with it. It's you know, another way to say odd is out of the box, I guess.
Yeah, out of the box is a good way to put it. I think the part of it, though, for me, is more about just kind of the four quarterbacks being in all at the same time. Penix Jr. isn't a guy that, you know, they're going to take number two overall. There are other teams that are looking at McCarthy, May, Daniels, Penix Jr., especially Penix Jr. further down. I'm sure he has seen some of those teams. I just thought it was, you know, out of the box is sort of what they're doing in the observation of these guys in a social environment. What was odd for me is that all four of the quarterbacks were saved and somehow were scheduled for the last 2 days. And that's what I was talking about on radio today is, you know, what does it mean? Does it mean that they actually don't know who they're going to pick a week from tomorrow night? Maybe they're getting just ridiculous offers, trade offers for number two from Minnesota, from Vegas, from Denver. And maybe they wanted, you know, McCarthy, Penix, maybe they were going to do this anyway, but, you know, whatever. They've got Penix Jr. here, and Penix Jr. is the one that's odd to me. Him coming in with all of these guys, is it possible that they're considering accepting a trade moving back, but they want to make sure that Penix Jr. is a guy that they can take at 11 if they do a deal with Minnesota, as an example? You know, and they pick up Minnesota's 11 and 23, their two first-rounders this year. They pick up Minnesota's first-rounder next year. They pick up Minnesota's first-rounder in 2026. You add a couple of other, you know, picks, and they end up trading back. I don't think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to stay at two. I think they're going to take Daniels. I just thought, you know, the four quarterbacks being here, what does it mean? Does it indicate something that maybe I haven't thought seriously about? And the Penix Jr. part of it in particular would lead me to believe that, you know, if they were actually sincerely interested in him, that would be a trade back scenario.
I'm sure somebody will ask them, Adam Peters, at the press conference on Thursday. That doesn't mean we'll get the answer. We'll get a answer. But I'm sure that's a question that'll come up. If no one asks it, I'll ask it.
Well, the answer from him might just be more information is better than less information. And the league gives you this opportunity to continue to gather information. And that's why we did it that way. And we did it in a way that we thought made the most sense.
Well, more information in some instances is not always a better decision.
I think it is in these things.
Okay, in this thing it may be. But, you know, as a general rule, it's not an absolute. You know, sometimes more information takes you out, knocks you off the prize that you had your eye set on, and then you wind up making a mistake.
This guy, Capital Paparazzi, I mean, does he just camp out at Dulles every day? Because today, Ron Rivera, just a few hours ago, was coming in through Dulles, and the guy was there again, and he interviewed Ron Rivera, and he explained to him that Jaden Daniels got a lift from Quinn and Peters, and the other guys had to take Ubers. What did Ron think? And Ron said, I wouldn't look too much into that. Sometimes it's just a matter of scheduling. He got Halle Berry coming through the airport last night. She looks great.
You know, when I lived in Miami, summers when I was 14 and 15, I lived with my sister down there in Miami, who was 8 years older than me and working down there.
Right.
And she pretty much let me do what I wanted to do. So I used to hang out at the airport a lot back then.
Really?
Because you could go anywhere at the airport in 1968.
Right. Did you do it to watch planes take off and land?
I just people watching. I mean, observing people. Sometimes you see stars at the airport. That's how I got involved in working for the Rockefeller campaign during the 68 Republican convention from hanging out at the airport. The airports generally now they're very restricted, but you see stuff, you see things happen, you see life unfold, you see stars. And not everyone still flies, you don't see as many as you used to because everyone flies private jets now, but not everybody. Some people don't. That is true. If this was Snyder, all these guys would have flown in on a private plane. Yeah. And they probably would have all been impressed by that.
Yep. Yeah, maybe that's the big takeaway. We're not treating them like stars before they're stars. We're treating them like normal people, hoping that they become stars.
I bet they made him fly coach.
Snyder treated every one of these people like they had arrived before they had actually arrived in the terminal.
Yes.
I'm talking about. Kidding.
Yes.
You know, when you were talking about airports, I do remember when I was a kid, my father would take me to the airport and we would park in this area. And I think, you know, it was National Airport, Reagan National Airport. It wasn't Reagan National back then. But, you know, there are areas where you can park just to sit and watch planes take off and land. And I remember my father would do that with me when I was a kid and I would get so excited. We're going to go watch planes take off and land. And they were so loud. And they'd fly right over you or take off right above you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Okay.
If you have a moment and you haven't rated us on Apple and Spotify, it would be much appreciated if you did that. It's pretty easy. Takes all of about 60 seconds. 5 stars is what they allow you to rate the show. That's helpful for us. And a quick 1 to 2 sentence review is what Apple allows. Subscribing to the podcast helps as well. And then following us on Apple and Spotify, just hit the plus sign on the Apple screen and the follow button on Spotify to give us a follow. All right, much more next, including the Caps, who got a big win last night to clinch a playoff berth. We'll get to that and more right after these words from a few of our sponsors. Hey guys, if you're looking for a fun way to play daily fantasy sports, Prize Picks is the place to go to. I downloaded the Prize Picks app recently. It's exciting, it's easy. It's different when it comes to DFS. It's just you against the numbers. It's not you battling thousands of other players. It's picking more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections with odds. Like the other night, I had Caitlin Clark less than 33 points and less than 6 3-pointers. It paid 3-1. The NBA playoffs are coming up. The NHL playoffs are coming up. Prize Picks offers so many different opportunities on a nightly basis. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use my code Sheehan for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app. Download it today. Use my code Sheehan, Sheehan, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey guys, I want to tell you about Harry's. Many of you have probably heard of Harry's razors and shaving products, maybe even from this podcast. They've been an occasional advertiser over the years. I'm a customer. I have been for a while now. I think it goes back to the first shipment of product that they sent me before the first time they advertised on the pod, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. They found a way, Harry's did, to make a beautifully designed razor for a fraction of the price of other big brands. I've been using their Truman handle. It's a 2-tone handle with a great grip. It provides a close shave no matter if you've got a beard and and you're shaving around it, or if you cleanly shave on a daily basis. Their German-engineered blades stay sharp and stay sharp for a long period of time. They've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills for as low as $2. That's half of what you pay other big brands. Right now, you can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/Sheehan. Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, and this is a no-risk trial. If you don't like your shave, no worries. It's on them. Convenient subscription options exist that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/Sheehan. That's harrys.com/SHEEHAN for a $3 trial set.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Empty net for the Flyers. Extra attacker out. And Oshie with a chance to put it away. We'll do just that. For the Capitals, that's a huge goal as they take a 2-1 lead and they are 3 minutes away from a playoff berth.
TJ Oshie last night, empty netter in a tie game with 3 minutes to go. Weird ending to that game. The Caps move on to the postseason after not making the playoffs last year. They're going to face the Rangers in the first round. This segment of the show is brought to you by MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag. Use my promo code, KevinDC, and they'll give you a cash bonus on your initial deposit. They've got a lot of draft props for next week. They've got all the NBA and NHL playoff action as well. I mentioned the other day that Jaden Daniels was minus 202 to be the second overall pick. He was a favorite to be the second overall pick. He's an even bigger favorite today at my bookie. He's minus 330 now to be the second overall pick. I've seen the odds on Jaden Daniels going up everywhere to be the second pick. Maybe it has to do with Quinn and Peters picking him up from the airport, or maybe it has to do with some reporting out there. But Jaden Daniels, minus 330 to be the second overall pick in the draft. You can bet everything draft-wise, playoff-wise for both hockey and NBA at MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag and use my promo code, KevinDC. So that's a really good finish to the season for the Capitals. You know, they went into to the weekend with games against Tampa, Boston, and then last night against Philadelphia. Essentially, Tommy, needing to win probably two of them with a point in the other. As it turns out, they probably needed to win all three, and they did. And their goalie, Charlie Lindgren, he's been lights out. I mean, incredible against Tampa, even better against Boston. And last night he stopped 27 of 28 shots. And the Caps got an empty netter and a weird setup at the end because the Flyers, we talked about it yesterday, had to win in regulation. Overtime meant that they were eliminated. They actually got eliminated even before the end of regulation because Detroit went to overtime with Montreal. They needed Detroit to lose. But Weird ending, but good win for them. God, it was Ovechkin was so happy. I'm happy for him, and I hope that they can give the Rangers a bit of a run, but they probably won't. But you never know; it's hockey.
They probably won't. But like we've talked about many times, the NHL, you know, a hot team with a hot goalie can wreck the Stanley Cup playoffs. More than any other sport, maybe. So anything's possible. I mean, they are playing the Rangers. What, won the President's Trophy this year?
Yeah,
have the best record in the league.
Best record.
Okay, but the Caps have firsthand experience into knowing what that means, being upset by an 8th seed with a hot goaltender.
Yeah, Yaroslav Halak, Montreal.
Yeah,
2010.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so disappointing. Oh, my God. There have been so many disappointments, but that may have been the top one.
Yeah, that was it. That was standard operating procedure at one point for this team.
Yeah.
You know, when was the disappointment going to come? Look, I mean, it's better to have them in the playoffs than not in the playoffs. Especially these days, since we don't have any postseason sports to speak of. So we should hang on to it and enjoy it while we can. But they did barely make the playoffs in a league where half the teams make the playoffs.
Right.
Okay, so let's not throw a parade for them. I'm happy that they did. It's good that they did. And it may speak, you know, this is out of beyond my pay grade. It may speak to how good a coach Spencer Carberry is. But I thought Bruce Boudreau was a great coach. And look what happened to him.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, with hockey, I don't know what a great coach is. I mean, normally I would give credit to a young coach like Carberry, keeping the team together, focused. You know, we didn't hear anything coming out of the locker room about grumbling when they were stinking the place up, like in the last 2 weeks before this, you know, last couple of games. But hockey's so unpredictable. I don't know if he's a good coach or not.
I
tell you what we know. We know that Ovechkin, who at the beginning of the year looked like he was done, is not done and is still very much in play for the Wayne Gretzky record.
I've had a lot of hockey guests on. Not a lot. I've had four or five hockey guests on over the last week. You know, guys like Ben Raby and Joe B. and Greg Wyshynski and Tarek and the, you know, the regulars, and I enjoy all of them. Actually, I think hockey guests are typically, for whatever reason, are really good guests, but they all pointed to Charlie Lindgren. Like they don't make this run without this guy who's been outstanding. And like you said, I mean, we've seen it many times before. We saw it last year, the 8th seed, the, you know, knocked off the President's Trophy winner Boston in the first round. Do you know who coaches the Rangers? Speaking of coaching?
Peter Laviolette.
Yeah, Laviolette coaches the Rangers after not winning a playoff series in 3 years in Washington, missing the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
After he took over for, you know, the guy that actually won the cup, Barry Trotz.
No. He did not take over for Barry Trotz.
Oh, Reardon. Sorry.
Todd Reardon.
Yeah, my fault.
You forgot.
Yeah, I forgot the Reardon era.
The short but glorious reign of Todd Reardon.
Yes. And he didn't win a...
That was the assistant who Ted figured, well, this job ain't too hard. This guy was around the players. He was pretty much coaching the team anyway. He can do it.
It's quite remarkable that they won the cup in 2018, and man, did they get their money's worth from a celebration standpoint, and they have not won a playoff series since. They went to the playoffs in 2019, in the COVID 2020 season, 2021, 2022. They have lost in the first round in their last four playoff appearances, missed the postseason last year, and they'll be a big underdog against the Rangers. But somebody's going to have to tell that story at some point if they, you know, if they go years without being a threat to win the cup or getting beat. How the guy that finally got him over the top, you know, how they didn't give him his, what was it, Tommy, an extra $500,000 or something?
Well, it wasn't the money as much as the years.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to give him the years that he wanted.
Well,
you know, and I mean, if it was me, I'm kind of stupid. You know, the woman who finally slept with me after 44 years of asking her says yes, I'm going to give her anything she wants.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. I mean, Barry would have been the cutest blonde in the room after they won in five in Vegas.
I mean, you know, years? Yeah, what? Lifetime. There's a lifetime contract. But no, Ted said, how hard can this be?
You know,
you got a guy right here who can do this job.
Well, remember, too, it was thought that Todd Reardon, was more of the X's and O's guy. I bet this was the age of, you know, Ted and Zach really starting to kind of, you know, get into analytics and information. And Reardon was probably one of those kinds of guys where Barry Trotz was just an old salt. You know, and they won the cup, and they said, no, we got a guy here that actually was the real brains behind the operation. Reardon coaching? I mean, Laviolette got a job right away. What about Reardon? Is he coaching? I would have no idea. I'm assuming not.
I don't know if he is.
Because wasn't that his first job as a head coach?
I don't think if he's a coach, he's on a coaching staff.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a head coach.
Good for the Caps, though. Like, like John Carlson.
Absolutely good for the Caps.
Carlson and Oshie and Ovechkin. The guys that have been here for a while and were a part of it. Tom Wilson. This will be a big deal. Like, it for them too, by the way, Tommy, it's one of the few times I know that somebody will tweet me and say, no, they went in as a 7 seed this year and a 6 seed that year. But this will probably be the first time they've been in the postseason as the dead last seed playing the number 1 seed. I could be wrong about that. But more times than not, it seemed to me during the Alex Ovechkin era, the Caps went in as a favorite in the first round. Maybe they weren't the favorite to get to the cup and win the cup, but they were favored more often than not in their first-round series with home ice advantage, et cetera. There's no pressure on them now, and no pressure combined with a really good goaltending situation. Who knows? It'd be pretty wild. I wonder what the odds are on them in the series.
Todd Reardon is the associate head coach for the Pittsburgh Penguins, like he was here in Washington. So he's like the second guy for the Penguins. Okay, he's on their staff. What's interesting is, you know, I don't know what seed they were the first time they made the playoffs with Ovechkin.
Against the Flyers.
Which was the 2008 season, 2007, 2008. That was the year they started out 6-14-1, and then Glenn Hanlon got fired, and they hired Boudreau, and they wound up 37-17-7 on that run. They went on a tremendous run.
They were the third. They were the 3 seed. They were the three seed, and Philly was the 6 seed. Remember, they had Game 7 at home, and they lost Game 7 at home.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes, I do remember that. But that team was on such a run. I remember George McPhee told me years later, of all the teams that lost in the Stanley Cups while he was here with Washington, he thought that was the team that had the best chance, if they had gotten by Philly, to go all the way. Because there's in hockey, there's so much belief in the hot team going into the playoffs. The Cavs aren't necessarily the hot team. They kind of crawl their way into the playoffs. They won a couple games at the end they needed to win, but they put themselves in a bad position by losing about 5 or 6 games the week before that.
The first 3 years they were in the playoffs, they were the 3 seed, the 2 seed, and the 1 seed. And they won one playoff series, and that was over the Rangers before losing to Pittsburgh in 2009. I remember, were you with me in the suite watching that Game 7? I know Doc was with me.
No, I wasn't. I was in the press box. Where they were down 3-0 before you could order your beer.
It was 3-0 before the game even barely started. Yeah. It was just so awful.
Yeah. That was so. There was so much anticipation for that game.
Oh my God! It was so big. That place was electric that night, and it was over.
Let's not harp over on the painful memories.
Uh-huh.
You know, let's let's enjoy their playoff moment now, because they almost didn't get one, and it's good for the league, it's good for us to have Alex Ovechkin in the NHL playoff.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm looking through here just to see the lowest seed they've been during the Ovechkin era. They were a 7 seed in 2012, and they knocked off Boston in the first round. I think that's...
That was the Dale Hunter team.
Yeah. Nobody liked the style he played, but they won that series in 7.
He turned Ovechkin into a part-time player.
Remember that. I remember that.
Yeah.
And it looks like, Tommy, that's basically the lowest by far they have ever been as a seed in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The 2020 season, that's the year. I mean, and they won a series.
Yeah.
They beat Boston, who was the 2 seed. So who knows?
I have a question for you.
Yes.
I have a question. How much damage do you think we did in this hockey segment here?
Less than you think, but probably more than I think. Somewhere in between. I think the expectations for a hockey discussion on this show between the two of us, the expectations are exactly the way you love them, which is incredibly low going in. So
absolutely.
I mean, the fact that, you know, you picked up immediately that Barry Trotz wasn't the coach before Peter Laviolette. You remembered it was Reardon. That had to be impressive to some people. The Dale Hunter team in 2012.
Okay. God, I know so much about Capitals.
I've said this many times before. I do enjoy the NHL playoffs. I think there is a tension associated with these games that is not matched in a lot of sports, especially when you get late in the third period or in overtime of a tie game. It is pretty dramatic. So, whatever. I think we've done a lot of caps here on the show today. I watched it last night. I also watched the NBA. I'll have more on that coming up in a moment. But that big smile from Alex Ovechkin on the bench in those final few seconds was, man, he wanted back in badly, and they may be back in next year and the year after. He may have 2 more seasons left to play, but you never know. So it was good for him to get back.
Yes, and one more thing, I'll bet you there was a big smile on Ted's face because now he gets playoff revenue.
Right,
and this is where the owners in the NHL. Really make their money. Playoff revenue in terms of sponsorships, ticket sales, all that stuff. This is their money. They can stick this in their pocket pretty much once they pay the players their share in the playoff run. So this, I mean, I think hockey more than, I could be wrong about this, but I think more than the NBA at least, hockey playoff revenue is much more of a boon for owners. So this is, Ted needed a win. He hasn't had a win in a while.
No, it's been a while since he's had a win. That is for sure. As long as we're on the subject of Ted, his basketball brass held a season-ending press conference today. Team president Michael Winger and GM Will Dawkins. Look, I've seen some quotes from it, but I'm going to read this one because... This one is interesting. It comes from team president Michael Winger. Chase Hughes from Monumental tweeted this out. President Michael Winger says the Wizards won roughly 40% of their quarters and halves in the second half of the season. It's not a full game, he made clear, but he believes it was one sign of them being more competitive as the year went on. What? What are you talking? You won roughly 40%, roughly 40%? Or 40% of their quarters and halves? Do you know how, I bet you could say that for a lot of bad teams, and I didn't go back and look at this, but a lot of times when you're getting your ass kicked by like 30, you end up winning the fourth quarter, and maybe even the third quarter. There were a couple of games where at halftime they were down by like 30 points. Now, the second half of the season, I have to say that Brian Keefe, for whatever reason, got them to play harder. They had some
They were a little bit more competitive.
They were more competitive, but that's just that. I would never have suggested that he say that. Now, good news for him, nobody's paying attention except for me. Nobody's going to know that he said that. But still, that you don't talk about winning quarters and halves for 40% of the time in the second half of a season in which you went 8-36 or something like 8-34 and 15-67 overall.
Let me just point out, and I wrote this in my column today about the Wizards season, which I know you read since I sent it to you.
You did send it to me, but yesterday. I have not read it yet. Yeah.
Of course you haven't read it. Well, if you read it, you would know that Mr. Winger could maybe explain this statistic. In the plus-minus number, the worst plus-minus numbers for the season, the Wizards had 5 of the top 10 worst plus-minus players.
In the NBA?
5 in the league.
Yeah.
Half of the top 10 were Wizards players. And you know who was the second worst in the league? Your boy, Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
At a minus 562.
I would imagine that nobody really was very good in plus-minus. Because here's the problem. They trailed early. They trailed at halftime. They trailed by even more in the third quarter. And then when all the players who don't play much were in the fourth quarter against the other team's end-of-bench players, maybe they won 40% of those quarters.
But let me just point out, and I pointed out in my column, I said, you might think this is an unfair measurement for Wizards players given their lack of winning. But the Pistons, who had an even worse record, the worst record in the league, did not have one player in the worst top 10 plus minus.
Mm.
Not one.
Okay, well, aren't you happy out there, Wizards land, that your team president in the season-ending press conference let everybody know that they won roughly 40% of their quarters and halves in the second half of the season? The good news is he recognizes it's not a full game, but he believes it was a sign of them being more competitive as the year went on. I actually would have advised him to say,
"Yes,
I was pleased with the way we competed in the second half of the season, but we got a long way to go."
Well, what's this? Do you know if this press conference was broadcast by the Monumental Sports Network?
I don't know.
Because if it was, I'm sure they said to him before he sat down, they said, look, you got to really come up with something positive to say here about this, you know, because that's our MO. That's how we do business here at Monumental Sports.
State TV? Yeah.
Yes. So he's just trying to go along with the program.
The Kremlin has just ordered you to say something really nice about this very tragic season.
Do you
understand,
I give him a
comrade?
Lot of credit for coming up with that.
Yeah, you know what? Good point. Hey, Michael, good job. You probably had to say something somewhat positive, or you may have been sent to Siberia for the weekend. Good God. By the way, that thing that you told me about that they were doing, are they doing that still? Or was
that Altcast?
Yeah. So is that Altcast? Is it, I mean, look, some of those guys, I think you told me JP was doing it, right? For the Wizards?
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you watched any of it? Are they allowed to speak opinion or is it all Pravda?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But, you know, only Ted would and now I guess you have to include Zach, would say, nobody's watching our games. Let's double down and create a second broadcast.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, the Manning cast is a good option when you've got a bad game on Monday Night Football. And they have a bad game basketball-wise every night. I would think, Tommy, that they're able to speak freely in that format. I can't imagine that the people who came up with the idea for this are going to treat it like the rest of the programming that they have at Monumental. I mean, this is a true opinion-driven format, I think. I haven't watched it, but I'm assuming if it's like the Manning cast, it's a lot of opinion. It's a lot of conversation. It's a conversation sometimes that, you know, has to be pointed, has to be constructively critical. I can't imagine that these guys are going to have to talk about the 40% of quarters and halves that have been so great while, you know, you're watching a game in which the home team's getting beat by 35. I don't know.
Well, now I have to watch. Well, now there's no more. Well, it's over.
Yeah, it's over now. I wanted to read this thing about Belichick. So I've not read this story that Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta have written, titled Inside Bill Belichick's Failed Job Hunt. But there was a bunch of stuff in here as it related to Washington, and I'm going to read some of it from an excerpt from the actual story. So bottom line was, Bill Belichick wanted to coach, you know, when the 2023 season ended. And Atlanta looked like a pretty good possibility, but Robert Kraft apparently told Arthur Blank, no, don't hire him. Washington was a possibility, and Magic Johnson, according to this story, lobbied hard for Belichick to be the team's next head coach. Belichick reportedly had a conversation with GM Adam Peters, who, by the way, remember, Peters started his career in New England in a Belichick-run New England Patriots organization. However, Josh Harris played a key role in Washington not even considering Belichick as a head coach candidate. Here's the actual quote from the story. Josh Harris, who had spoken privately with Robert Kraft about Belichick, told Confidants in early December that he respected Belichick but wasn't going to hire him. He wanted the same leadership structure he has with the Philadelphia 76ers and the New Jersey Devils, a strong general manager over a head coach. Harris's hiring of 44-year-old Peters as GM before he looked for a coach was a big tell that Belichick was not a fit, a decision that Magic Johnson eventually endorsed, all right? A source close to Belichick said the coach had questions about working in a strong GM system, but, and here's an interesting part of the story, in addition to he did speak to Peters and Magic lobbied hard for him. Apparently, he was okay, Belichick was, with not having any control in Atlanta. But Washington was a different story. So he was okay with Terry Fontenot, the GM, and Arthur Blank in Atlanta with just coaching the team. But in Washington, he apparently wanted more control. Now, I don't know if that's because Josh Harris isn't a proven NFL owner. That may be part of it.
That's one reasonable guess.
Yeah.
Arthur Blank's been around a while. Belichick probably knows him.
Right.
You know, from different league meetings and stuff. And Josh Harris is more of an unknown entity.
Right.
That may be the case.
Yeah. And by the way, if Adam Peters was already on board, because it did say that Adam Peters met with Belichick, Adam Peters is a new general manager as well. Terry Fontenot's been in Atlanta as the general manager for a few years. So, but I bet it speaks more to Josh Harris. That seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, now, are we going to assume that Adam Peters was not on board with this hire?
With what, the Dan Quinn hire?
No, the Bill Belichick hire.
Was not on board with, considering that it said in this story that Josh Harris told Confidants back in December, if Adam Peters wanted to hire Bill Belichick and couldn't convince, Josh Harris as to the reasons why it made sense, well, then Adam Peters wouldn't have been hired, right?
You would think so. I mean, I'm thinking, look, Adam Peters may like Bill Belichick. He worked for Bill Belichick. But that doesn't mean he'd want to work with Bill Belichick in his first general manager's job either.
Right.
You know, there. No matter how many pledges were given, there would be the constant fear every night of going to bed as to what Belichick would do to basically, you know, undermine you if you're a new GM. And I don't think Adam Peters would have needed that headache. I mean, now here he is. If Dan Quinn was the guy that he wanted and hired, then Dan Quinn owes his job to Adam Peters. I don't think Bill Belichick would ever feel he owed his job to anyone.
Yeah, true. I want to tell everybody quickly about Window Nation. Window Nation's got a great deal going on right now. Buy two, get two free with no limit, with no payments and no interest for two full years. I had Charles reach out to me recently. Charles said, "Thank you for recommending Window Nation. One of the benefits from just the estimate alone was to find out how many of my windows actually needed to be replaced." Yeah, most people have no idea which windows in their home actually need to be replaced versus those that do. And that's what this free estimate from Window Nation will give you. They'll give you the deal that you're looking for. Buy two, get two free. No payments, no interest for two full years. But the free, no obligation in-home estimate will reveal to you which windows are worth keeping and which windows should get replaced. So call them at 866-90-NATION. Head to windownation.com. Mention my name. You've got nothing to lose. If you've been thinking about new windows, but you're not even sure what you need, Window Nation can help just to get you started on the process with a free estimate. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. You're not going to work with a better company. You're not going to work with a company that's got a better deal right now, I don't think. And in terms of experience, second to none. Their average installer averages 10 years of experience. If they come to actually make the installation of the new windows, they're in and out in the same day. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. All right, there is more to go, and we'll get to it right after these words from a few of our sponsors. Hey guys, most of us are interested in our mental and physical well-being to a certain degree, and with that in mind, I'd like to welcome and introduce a new sponsor to the podcast. The new sponsor is Unified Healing. Unified spelled U-N-I-F-Y-D, Healing. It doesn't matter if you're a big-time world-class athlete or just a somewhat athletic podcaster like me. We all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring the podcast now. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the DMV or anywhere else across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Well, go to unifiedhealing.com/Sheehan to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, spelled U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/Sheehan. No material or testimonies on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare providers with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Tommy, tell us about Shelley's.
Well, Shelley's Back Room at 1331 F Street Northwest has a menu of excellence, as I like to describe it, for everything. Cigars, drinks, and food. And we've described many of the meals that they have. And I usually talk about what I like that's on their menu or that's the special for today. Okay, so I'm going to veer off a little bit and mention one of today's specials at Shelley's.
Oh, God, I'm hungry right now. Be careful.
That's not something I would order, okay?
Okay.
It's a turkey hummus wrap. Roasted turkey breast with Swiss cheese, lettuce, tomato, with fresh hummus on a flour tortilla served with chips and a kosher dill pickle. Okay. Are you a hummus guy?
No. I'll eat hummus, but, you know, when you've got an option of... You know, the patty melt that they have that's so good, the Cuban sandwich, which is incredible. Their Reuben is so good. I'm probably at Shelley's going with one of those first, but I bet it's a good sandwich.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is one thing about Shelley's when they offer their specials. You know, it's specials with an S. They offer more than one. You know, if you're not a hummus guy, then you're a double dip burger guy.
What's the plural for hummus?
Shelley's. Custom blend Angus ground chuck, beef short ribs, and beef brisket with roast beef and Swiss cheese on a potato roll.
That's
as they say, the alt test to the hummus meal.
That's the name of the podcast today. Altcast Day on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Tom Lavero.
And you can find out more, you go to shelleysbackroom.com.
May 6th, everybody, we'll be down there for Tommy's event. Can't wait to see you. Come on out.
Yeah. Remember, you go to dcgrays.com to buy tickets.
Exactly.
And we've got a lot of great stuff up for auction.
A lot of great stuff. So this story broke early this afternoon, and it's a really interesting one, and I think we're going to see stories like this. Hopefully not too many of them, but Jontay Porter, who really isn't a significant player in the NBA, his brother, Michael Porter Jr., is a champion, plays and starts for the Denver Nuggets as part of their great team. But Jontay, his brother, was banned from the league earlier today by Adam Silver, the commissioner, for betting on NBA games and revealing information to bettors. Here are some of the things that in the story on this he was involved in. The league investigation revealed that Porter placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using an associate's online betting account. The bets ranged from $15 to $22,000, totaling $54,094, according to the league. The NBA said the total payout from those bets was $76,059, meaning the net winnings were $21,965. None of the bets involved any in which Porter played. Three of the bets were parlays, including one that included a bet on the Raptors to lose. And when I say none of the bets involved games in which Porter played, it's because he ducked out of these games. By the way, all of the bets that involved the Raptors, they all lost. But there was an $80,000 same-game parlay bet that featured unders on Porter's statistical numbers. You know, things like points, assists, and rebounds.
Right.
And in that particular bet, Porter played 3 minutes in the game, left the game with an illness. The bet, which was placed at DraftKings, was not paid. And the reason it wasn't paid is this was marked as suspicious betting. That's suspicious activity when you get a player that isn't a significant player, and Jonte Porter's not a significant player, and you get somebody coming in with an $80,000 parlay on his numbers. Like, these guys weren't super sharp in this. This was flagged pretty easily. But let me just net this out from my standpoint. Adam Silver 100% did the right thing. Anybody that thinks this is too severe of a punishment doesn't understand that the integrity of these games are everything. If not, it becomes, you know, professional wrestling. And I think, Tommy, there are a lot of young players in these leagues, all of them, that just don't understand what they could potentially do by providing information that isn't legal to a bettor, or by betting on games themselves. And how, by the way, it's so penny wise and pound foolish. Their compensations in those sports so dwarf what they could make without being noticed gambling wise. I say that, I don't know that for sure, but it's really hard to make bets that a player like Jonte Porter can have some impact on, like personal, you know, statistical numbers, prop bets for his numbers, without, you know, and make any real money without it being noticed.
Right,
and,
it is.
And flat.
Yeah, but here's what we don't know. We don't know what kind of hole he's been down. We don't know what kind of hole one of his relatives has fallen into that makes him vulnerable.
Yep.
For any number of reasons.
True.
But you're right. I mean, this has to be an absolute situation. You have to come back with a punishment so severe that people won't consider doing it.
Yeah, like,
okay.
Yes, you have to. It's got to be a massive wake-up call, because don't you agree with me? I bet you 40%, using the Michael Winger number, of professional athletes in bettable sports really don't understand the pitfalls of gambling, don't understand how much trouble they could get in and why they could get in so much trouble if they help somebody win a bunch of money or if they bet themselves.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that, absolutely. And here's the thing I hear from people who are, you know, who say, oh, this is what happens when you have sports betting. When they catch you, that means the system is working.
Right.
Okay? That there's a system in place that's working. And sports betting didn't just start with the United States here, legalized sports betting. It just didn't start. It's been going around the civilized world for years and years and years. They've been dealing with this in Europe and Australia and other places every day. All their professional sports they bet on, plus all kinds of other things, too. I mean, but we're so American, we're so centric towards what we do. We think this is the only place this is happening. And if you know, this... I mean, it's going to happen, but if the system works, you're going to catch situations like this. And when you do, you make the punishment so severe that people, you know, some kid will say, oh, my God, I don't want to ruin my career.
I have an idea. I have no idea if this is something that they've considered. First of all, you're 100% right. You can also add that this has been going on illegally in this country for years, and the books themselves have essentially been the upholders of the integrity. They're the ones, even today, that can flag irregular betting and then notify the leagues. The leagues and the bookmakers are all in it together. They don't want to get taken to the cleaners by people that have inside information, and the leagues want to keep up the integrity of the game. But like I was thinking about this earlier with Jonte Porter in particular, there's so many, you know, and by the way, I don't play prop bets typically. I mean, you know, sometimes in the playoffs, the NFL playoffs or the Super Bowl or whatever. I'm pretty much an old school. I bet sides. I bet totals. I bet money lines. I'm not sitting there. And I know that there are a lot of people that believe that some of the best opportunities come in player prop bets in particular. But a guy like Jonte Porter, they shouldn't even offer numbers on him. You know, anybody that is a low-level contributing player, also I would look at, you know, compensations for some of the players, you know, their current salary structure, how long their contracts are. I would not offer prop bets on those players because those are the ones that are vulnerable for, you know, additional compensation to help somebody win a bet. I would exclude a lot of those lower level contributors because they're available. Tommy, you can go to any sort of NBA game and pull up all the prop bets, and you've got guys that are seventh and eighth on the bench that have over under numbers on points, assists, and rebounds.
Yeah.
I would. There's enough prop bet in terms of the offering availability that I would keep it away from some of the players that are more vulnerable to this. You're not going to convince Damian Lillard to go under his point total,
right,
you know, which is the thing he can control more than over the point total. You don't have enough money to make him consider that. So it's the players that are, you know, what do they call those contracts? 10-day contracts. You know, what do you call the there's another name for it, but any of the players that are on short-term lower compensation deals, players that don't play a lot, I would just exclude them from prop bet, you know, availability. Anyway, what do I know?
Well, you know more about this than most of us.
I know a little bit about betting. I don't know anything about fixing games or getting the players to say, hey, man, how you feeling? You look kind of sick. Why don't you get out there, you know, when you check in, dribble the ball around, turn it over a couple of times, and then say you feel ill and come out. Because I got you on under 3.5 assists, under 5.5 points, and under 2.5 rebounds tonight. And I have parlayed those three together for $80,000, and it pays and it pays really nicely, like 6-1. I'm going to make $480,000 off this. Yeah, I mean, there are certain things that you know, like Jonte Porter's personal prop bets. You see a large wager come in on him, of course it's going to get flagged. I'm surprised the bettor didn't know that. All right, what else?
I got nothing else for you today, boss.
I don't think I have anything else either. All right, again, more likely than not, a show tomorrow that I'll record tonight. And then Friday, no show, but I'll probably be back over the weekend, hopefully with Cooley. All right, Tommy, I'm done. Thanks.
See you, boss.